Hello, and welcome back to the Profiling Podcast Series, introducing you to the members of the International Water Association's Digital Water Programs Steering Committee. For those of you joining us for the first time today, the IWA Digital Water Program is on a mission to provide a platform for water utilities to explore and share experiences on their digital water journey. The program has provided roadmaps and guidance that will help water utilities in making the transition to the next generation of smart water systems and fulfill the need for improved resiliency to secure and sustainably manage water resources now and in the future. The steering committee conceptualizes and produces these and other outputs of the program, including white papers, books, webinars, and podcast series like this. I am Erin Jordan, Strategic Programs Officer at the IWA, coordinating the Digital Water Program. And my guest today is Prabhu Chandasekaran, VP Intelligent Water National Practice Leader at Arcadis North America. Prabhu is one of the newly elected members of the steering committee, actively contributing and representing the IWA. Welcome to the podcast, Prabhu.
Thank you, Erin. Thank you for that introduction. I'm so happy to be joining you today in this series. I've enjoyed listening to some of the other members. And again, I'm very thankful to IWA to nominate me and then make me a member of the steering committee that advances the digital water program in addition to several other things that IWA's mandate is focused on.
Awesome, awesome. It's a pleasure to have you here, Prabhu. So let's get started, just like how we do with all podcasts, all episodes so far. Tell us a bit about yourself. So tell us, who is Prabhu?
Prabhu, yes. Where do I begin? Well, I consider myself to be a dad. I have a 11-year-old who is everything in my life. And then I consider myself to be sort of a servant to the society in a way that the more and more I think about it, everybody has a role to play on this planet Earth. So I believe I have a purpose to help anyone that I meet or do not meet and elevate their experiences during their life. That said, just to give a little background about myself. I grew up in India, born and raised in India. I am from a small town called Thanjavur. It's located within South India, and it is very rich for its historical context as well as water management. I didn't know much about all of that until my mom actually did a research during her PhD on the science behind some of the literature, and that focused on a lot of water management. Quite interesting. After I finished my schooling, I did my bachelor's in civil engineering from Anna University, Chennai. Feels like a long time ago. Focused on water management during my final capstone project, more on wastewater as well as groundwater. Then I moved to US to do my master's in environmental engineering. I went to IIT Chicago. I did my master's thesis with Dr. Krishna Pagila, well-renowned in the industry. I have a big presence within IWA and several other organizations. I learned a lot from him, working with him during my master's program. Then I got into the professional field with Baxter & Woodman, was my first company. Great company to work for, great people, learned a lot of great things from my project managers and colleagues. Focused on a lot of planning and design of water systems, mostly wastewater treatment, pumping systems, odor control. Then a few years after, I started working for Greeley & Hanson, another great firm. Had several mentors who helped me learn a lot of things. Had the opportunity to work on some of the really cool projects, first ever projects. Some like one of them that comes to my mind is a Sickney water reclamation facility located in Chicago. It was a once in a lifetime project when doing it on ovation design after some 100 years since its construction. One of the first 3D MEP design projects. I was fortunate to be working on that one. And I was fortunate again to work on different aspects of water resources management through different ways of delivering, including program management, construction management within water. And then somewhere around 2015, 2016 time is when I started exploring more into the digital side of the water industry. I still remember very clearly that it was a pivotal moment in my life. I tell my dear friend Adam Kranz, who is the CEO of NACWA, I sat down next to him in a flight, and then he asked me what I wanted to do. I talked about digital transformation, and he put me into this task force that released the digital utility of the workforce document. I still consider that to be a pivotal moment in my life, in my journey in advancing digital transformation. Since then, my focus really grew more into the digital side of things. How can we apply digital solutions to better manage water systems, to make better decisions, to help the workforce and the people who are critical in managing these water systems and in their during their daily lives. And now I lead the Intelligent Water National Practice within Arcadis, advancing the adoption of digital solutions, including AI machine learning, as well as, again, helping utilities how to advance their workforce in adopting these solutions to continue to meet their mission for their organization.
Wow, Prabhu, it sounds like, you know, every time I do these podcast episodes, I always wonder how the members of the steering committee have so much time on their hands to even volunteer in our group and still be able to put forward products, still be able to push out work. I think it's very impressive. And again, I don't think I say thank you enough to all of you, but thanks a lot for your support and your engagement. But I want to just double back a bit. You spoke about your mom's research. So clearly, you know, water has been in your bloodline for a while. And then too, you have a hometown relationship with water. What exactly drives your passion even now? Because you're still in water, but just now on the digital transformation side of water. So what makes you stay in the water sector, but just, you know, move around?
That's a great question. I think water has been a significant part of my life journey, I would say. Having experienced firsthand the impacts of or experiencing the lack of access to safe drinking water, reliable drinking water, as well as even to sanitation facilities as a child, as a kid, I still remember how everybody was making their lives work around based on what they need to do in the morning to fetch water. So that had clearly an impact. And just noticing how, you know, growing up, even understanding, you know, how there is an impact on rainwater, the rainfall, the monsoon rainfall in India, and how it impacted the availability for us from a groundwater level. I remember, you know, there was no rain, there was no groundwater in our, you know, there was no water in our wells, right? We had to really conserve. So the water conservation and the impacts of water in our daily lives was always there throughout my lives. Plus, when I was doing my bachelor's in Chennai, as you probably, several of the listeners might know about the impacts of the drought, as well as the flooding, just in general, how it can be devastating when we don't have a proper water management. When I say water, everything, water, wastewater, storm water. All these experiences really motivated me to focus on water, wastewater, and that's what got me into the water industry. And then I really enjoyed the wastewater side of things, the chemistry behind it and the process mechanical designs and how everything came together, you know, even working on these massive projects where you have to work with a multidisciplinary team that has one goal, you know, create this wastewater. But then there are so many moving parts within this facility for it to be successful from project perspective, as well as from an environmental sustainability and creating a safer environment for everybody to live in. I just don't know. I just really drawn toward water in some fashion from that perspective. I've always been fascinated about data and technology. Even when I was doing my bachelor's in civil engineering, I did a partial IT that, again, applying what can we do using IT and technology to better design our systems, better make better decisions. That has always been in there. Even in my first job, I was writing few scripts in Excel to automate the design or a preliminary design of wastewater systems and pump stations. That was always there. I think the more and more I started focusing on the potential of digital, understanding the power of all digital systems in the last 5 years, given its widespread use and how much cheaper and faster things can be deployed, I've been wanting to advance the adoption of these solutions. Again, ultimately to go back to where I was passionate about, you know, water, right? How can we improve the water systems? How can we keep a more clean, safer environment for us, sustainability? And then now we talk about climate change. Every time I talk to my friends, or even with my daughter, I tell them, climate change is everybody's business, okay? So and there are a lot more things going on. And then it was great to see climate crisis, right? During the last UN conference, it's picking up a lot of steam. I'm hoping that we continue to have a better management of water systems using these technology solutions moving forward.
I like the fact that you also impress upon your daughter that this is a very serious issue. I'm a firm believer that it starts with the children, because then it's a surefire way to get to make an impact. Children tend to not forget what you teach them as they grow. I firmly believe that we should definitely be talking to the young ones. The old ones too, don't get me wrong, but young ones.
You are absolutely right. She's doing research in her school and her topic. I didn't say anything, and she picked food scarcity and malnutrition in developing countries. And the more she did the research, she understood the importance of having access to safe drinking water and sanitation facilities, and how that has a profound impact on malnutrition, food scarcity, food availability. It was quite fascinating for me to learn from her also. Oh, yeah, these are great ones. And I was also quite happy to see, oh, my kid's learning these things. Okay.
Yeah, it's good for them to get these revelations at that age too. The more teachers and, you know, parents as well, because it's not just the teacher's job, but parents and teachers, the more they give children, the students, these opportunities to do that research, or to even just give them a chance to think outside of math and English, I think they start to realize how serious certain things are, and they might even start to appreciate them. But before we run down on a tangent, because I could talk about that for hours, I wanted to find out a bit more about your role at Arcadis. So you say you lead the Intelligent Water National Practice, and I just wanted to understand a bit about Arcadis. And maybe you could also, given all that you've done so far in your career, how then do you use what you've learned at your other companies, you apply it here also to push the work being done in this group forward?
Absolutely. Arcadis, as many of the listeners might know and you probably know too, is a global consulting company, focuses on, I mean, our new strategy, simply put, plan positive future, right? I'm really excited when I saw that, you know, we're focused on creating a planet positive future. Every decision, every type of project that we are focused on is going to be towards that goal. And it is perfectly aligned with just some of the values that I have personally, and several of us within the organization whole. From that perspective, there is a serious big push within Arcadis in terms of how we can bring the digital and the human together, because, you know, within Arcadis, in terms of how we function, as well as in how we deliver projects, how we come up with solutions. Again, there's another aspect aligns clearly with my value systems. And from that perspective, and they have been, in addition, while this is our new strategy, they've always been a leader in advancing, creating more environmentally sustainable solutions, whether it's net zero, whether it's climate adaptation, whether it is related to energy transition. As everybody is starting to recognize how data and digital transformation are going to be critical enabler in solving these problems, from my role, I see several opportunities. My mandate is to advance the culture within Arcadis in educating people in terms of the power, not that they don't know it, but it's also advancing. How much can we advance? Everybody's passionate about these things, but how can we advance? How can we grow this culture of digital and innovation within Arcadis, as well as do the same thing with our clients through better awareness, through deployment of pilots and proof of concepts in applying digital solutions within their organization for them to solve several problems, whether it is related to an O&M, asset operations and maintenance, or it could be a customer service and experience related problems, or it could be any other utility management challenges that they may have. I'm really passionate about it, and because it allows me to work with people internally as well as externally, and able to demonstrate the importance of collaboration and knowledge sharing and then idea generation by working with a diverse team, right? Diverse is a key component in developing these solutions, not just from an idea perspective, but also people coming from different experiences, from across different countries too. So bringing all of it together, working with people, that's something that I, you know, every day when I wake up, okay, who am I working with today? What are we solving? What can I learn from others? I strongly believe that I will continue to learn. I enjoy learning every single day. So there is something to learn from everybody, and be able to come together and develop solutions together is what I'm passionate about. And that's what my role is all about, trying to advance the adoption of digital solutions, including the use of AI, machine learning within water industry to solve our bigger problems, right?
Okay. You mentioned that, you know, the strategy, new strategy for Arcadis is a planet positive future. And then you also touched on diversity in achieving this, because again, people come from different backgrounds, therefore they see life a bit differently. So with that, what do you think, or you can share your thoughts or your hope for the future of the digitalization of the water sector? As you said, you know, you guys are working, your group specifically, you're working very much to bring digital and human beings together. Where do you see digital water in the next, I'll give it sometime 25 years. maybe I give you some intervals, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years.
Okay, great question. So 25 years from now, it's a long time. I'm hoping that first of all, I am somewhere in a different place, experiencing some nature and with my kid. That's 25 years from now. And then still be able to tap into some kind of a 3D sense-enabled experience to talk to folks wherever they are, including my friends and colleagues and clients all over the world. To help continue to solve problems. The problems could be different, but I am hoping that's the future, so that we're all connected, perhaps hyper-connected. The connectivity could be a completely different way of connectivity. I'm sure all the sci-fi movies are going to come to reality at that point in 25 years. And that's, I think, everyone at that point has a more collective objective as a water industry. We're all hyper-focused on protecting the environment in a more environmentally justifiable manner. I think that's an important aspect of it, right? That's something that we cannot forget. Environmental justice is an important aspect of it, because as we are advancing and then improving the lives of people, we need to think about everybody's lives across the whole world, because everyone has an impact directly or indirectly, whether they realize it or not realize it, has an impact on someone somewhere across the world, given how globalized we are. So hopefully we have a hyper-focused objective in protecting the environment and advancing everybody's lives, regardless of where they live on this planet Earth. Okay, and then we're leveraging the technologies that are more focused on these objectives, perhaps from a more watershed perspective, as opposed to more political boundaries. Maybe we don't have these political boundaries at that point. maybe my or more thinking from, oh, you are protect this plant is for this watershed. This group of people from these diverse political boundaries are working to protect this watershed and all the species living within this watershed. That's the 25-year vision. Okay. All right. So for that to happen actually effectively, okay, maybe 10 years, I'm hoping we have all the policies and then in place that enable everybody to do these things. And then we probably have the workforce with the mentality at that point to be operating in this mindset. And then we also have technology infrastructure that are mature enough to allow for these seamless flow of information and decision making to happen is ready in 10 years. Okay, so probably an aggressive timeline, but you know, we're talking, hey, who knows, ChatGPT came into being before we knew about it, and it's you know, the whole large language models are just popping up from everywhere. So I'm hopeful that we will be there at that point. 5 years, let's say, look at 5 years. I think 5 years, hopefully we have advanced the awareness of technology solutions, and so because of my bias towards technology that I have across the water industry, people are more hopeful, people are more open to trying out these ideas. When I say technology, it doesn't necessarily have to be just digital technologies. It could be other technologies that support the circularity, process intensification, better hydrologic modeling. Obviously, digital solutions are going to be a critical component of it, but then we have advanced the awareness of the people in the water industry. Hopefully, we have created frameworks and policies that help address the workforce issues, because we cannot forget, like I said, the digital and the human aspects of the strategy that we have within Arcadis, right? While we're focused on internally upskilling and reskilling, we also need to think about how can we continue to attract workforce within into the water industry. I'm hopeful that the generation alphas and the generation Zs are a lot more socially active and politically active, and then they are more conscious about the environment. Not that others are not, but I think that's what the statistics is saying. Hopefully we are able to attract them, bring them into our industry, learn from them, as well as bring their new ideas. Maybe there are new ways of working. Be open to that. I think that's the important thing. Be able to be in a place where we're a lot more innovative. Having that innovative mindset is what I'm looking for in the 5 years. Along with some good, you know, proof of concepts and nice pilots that can demonstrate the value of digital for water management.
I definitely think that in five years, having a changed mindset is ambitious. Because like I'm thinking somebody's mindset is hard to change, even sometimes 10 years. So I agree with you. I definitely, it would be perfect if we could achieve these things. And I do hope that going forward, once we continue to speak about it, you know, if most things, you have to generate the buzz about it first, and then, yeah, you know, slowly but surely, you know, it would come. With that being said, how then, given your 5, 10 and 25 years, hopes and dreams, how then do you describe the value and the impact of initiatives like the digital, the IWA Digital Water Program?
I think IWA, given its global presence, has a very important role because it caters to the needs of people from all over the world. That is something that I'm very appreciative of, how, you know, IWA has a more global focus. Not necessarily, they try to have conferences for more developing countries, developed countries. So the diversity of the areas of focus is a strong aspect for IWA. From that perspective, I think for this to be a more successful initiative across the globe, like I said, we are all connected in one way or the other. We're focused on water. When I say water, we have both municipal water as well as industrial water, right? And we talk about sustainability, we talk about climate change and all these things. All these are interrelated. Once we start seeing from a little more higher, 30,000 foot level, from that perspective, while digital program is going to be a common element across all aspects of water management, I think tying them to how we can make an impact is going to be critical. And then IWA has a really unique role in bringing all these things together. And then digital, I'm really passionate about the digital side of things because it helps information from different sources to be put together. Because we've always struggled with making decisions. So we know that we need to make better decisions when it comes to sustainability, circularity, climate change. How do we do that? We have objectives, but then this whole digital water program is going to be the right, or should I say, the tool to solve these problems. And from that perspective, I think our initiative is going to add a lot of value when we talk about circularity. That's something that comes to my mind. It connects several industries. There's the waste that's being generated within municipal, as well as how can industries be a lot more sustainable, and even the impacts of climate change at the higher level. We have a clear role to play, and we can create a much better, a lot more impact in advancing these concepts and the objectives that come along with it.
All right. Thank you for your insight. I think I learned a lot talking to steering committee members, especially about digital. But serious things out the way now. Every episode we get a nice quirky piece of information from each steering committee member. So when you are not working, what do you do? Where can we find Prabhu?
Okay. Like I said, I have a 11-year-old. So she and I, whenever I'm with her, we have a lot of fun. We do a little video game. Mostly it's me watching her play video game. we do that. And I have a dog, my pup. He's 3 years old. His name is Archie. He's a golden doodle pup. I go on walks with him. I do that. I enjoy singing. Not a professional singer or anything, but I like to sing some of the Indian songs and other songs.
Okay.
I like to listen to a lot of music, dancing so stupidly in my kitchen with my dog. I'm sure my neighbors are like watching me doing that. I go, what's going on with Prabhu? It's great. Why is he acting like this?
Listen, they're getting a free show. They shouldn't be upset.
And my daughter introduces me to a lot of pop culture songs from school. So, and quite recently, I think she introduced me to Dojo Cat. So the Paint the Town Red was my favorite one. I got so addicted to it. I even sang a little bit of that for her. She was like,
I can imagine her embarrassment. That's so interesting. You're the second steering committee member who's had you like to sing. Jyoti also said she likes singing, dancing and stuff. I was thinking that you were gonna say something like the gym or nature hikes or something, but this is also different.
I do love working out, so I'm in the gym 6 times, so strength training is something that I really enjoy. Sometimes it does help me decompress, but singing, definitely. I would pick a song. I would like to sing along with it a lot. I mean, given my Bollywood, Hollywood association, Bollywood association, most of my songs are like from Indian songs.
Okay.
It's that definitely.
So, yeah, it's good to know singing. I won't keep you much longer, Prabhu. So, for the final 60 seconds of the podcast, what can we expect from you in 2024?
There are two major projects that I'm working on, more industry focused, not an individual one. Because of its wider focus, the two Water Research Foundation projects, one on AI machine learning, how can we, again, the focus is on advancing the adoption, understanding the challenges, educating the water industry in terms of what will work, what will not work, what the impediments of adopting AI machine learning, what do they need to even know about adopting these AI machine learning, or even are they even applicable to them, things like that. So that's definitely a big one. I'm hoping to do a lot of pilots and proof of concepts, helping several utilities within US and outside US. And then the second project focuses on the people side of things. I love that one. It's going to focus on how can we train, upskill, reskill existing workforce, given that how we work and what we work on is probably going to continue to change in the future. So that project, again, is a pretty good one. And 2024, last but not the least, working with the Digital Program Steering Committee, right? It's learning from everybody. I think you and I talked about creating this a little work group on generative AI. Given the widespread application, the potential of Gen AI, hoping to work on that work group. So those are the things I want to work on next year, helping people understand the good, bad, and ugly of AI machine learning and what can they do to adopt it in a better way. And that's going to be the future. And I'm really, really looking forward to working with the steering committee and learning more things from different parts of the country, their challenges and lessons, to put it to good use for us to deliver, again, going back to the mandate of IWA, how can we disseminate this knowledge and information for people to consume so that everybody is benefiting from our digital water program.
Sounds like you're already busy for 2024. It sounds like you have a very full plate already. So kudos to you. Definitely generative AI is growing. The hype around it as well is growing, and a lot of people are now going to be very interested in it. So I really do hope that we can put forward some good products to also help from the water perspective, to help people understand how it can be used in water management. I think it would be, this is the perfect time to do that. So definitely look forward to doing some work on the generative AI. And I would definitely look out for your updates on these projects. With that, I want to thank you for joining me today, talking to me and to the listeners, of course. I think today was a very fruitful discussion. You enjoyed as well.
Thank you again so much, Erin. It's always good to talk with you about what we can do to work together.
And to the listeners, I just want to say thank you for listening to the episodes that we've released thus far. Thank you for your support. I definitely look forward to more. And as usual, you can stay connected with us on IW Connect Plus, and you could also sign up to receive our digital water newsletter. All of these links will be in the bio, and you could also connect with Prabhu on LinkedIn. His LinkedIn profile will be in the bio of the podcast as well. So with that, goodbye everyone.